Today's race is brought to you in part by Advantage Communications, proudly supporting NASCAR on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here along with Carla Heath and Galen Stewart. Ryan Wensloff, our unpaid intern.
We're going to put him to work here.
We need to find something for him to do.
When Hollywood gets here, we'll run him down.
Yeah, there was a phone call that just came in right before we went back, and I thought it was Jeanette. So I'm making all these, and it wasn't. And apparently there's some strange odor going around.
Oh, yeah.
North Broadway. You know what it is?
No, but when I came across the trestle to come in here, yeah, it was,
really?
It wasn't good.
What?
Yeah, huh. It was. I was thinking it was coming from that Marysville.
Really? So somebody was calling to report that here?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we just did.
Do you have guest B lined up?
We do.
Allow me to introduce him. Many, many years ago, probably close to 35 years ago, when I was in high school, I used to work for a company called Al's Auto Supply. And we used to advertise a half-page ad in the Everett Herald probably every 2 weeks. And it never failed that about the same time that we put an ad in, a gentleman by the name of Al Van Dyke put an ad in for his shop called Evergreen Speed. Mm-hmm. And I looked more forward to Al Van Dyke's ads than the Al's Auto Supply ads, because Al would have just a brief blurb about an Iskandarian cam or a Lakewood traction bar, but a lot of it was about Al's views on what was going on in the country, in the world, and in particular the city of Everett. A gentleman joining us right now has got a lot of information about Al, who recently passed away. It's my privilege to introduce to you a gentleman by the name of Will Kennedy, who a longtime sprint car racer around the Pacific Northwest. And Will, it's good to have you with us tonight, sir.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
How are you? How you doing, buddy?
Real good.
Good. Good. You wanted to come in. Make sure his arrow is pointing the right way, would you?
This end up.
Yeah, that's exactly how it has to work. That's exactly how it has to work. But Will and Al Van Dyke went back many, many, many years, and Al is here to, or excuse me, Will is here to talk about his good friend Al. So, sir, the floor is yours.
Well, actually, Al and I go back about 30 years. I met Al back in the 70s. At that time, I wasn't in racing, but I had a big block Suburban that I always wanted to try to get to run better and everything and pull more weight and everything. And somebody directed me down to Al, and I remember at the time I was working at Western Gear, and I came up on a payday on Friday night to go in to get some parts from Al and get these parts I'd ordered. And he had them all added up for me and everything else, and I pulled, I think it was a Bank of America card. It was a Visa now out of my pocket. And he says, "What's that?" I says, "Well, that's a bank card." He says, "I don't take those." I said, "Well, it's on the front door. It says you do." He says, "I don't care what it says. I don't take those." So I says, "Okay." So I put that back in my wallet, and I reached and got my checkbook out of my pocket. He says, "What's that?" I said, "Well, that's a checkbook, Al." He says, "Well, I don't take those either." I said, "Well, that's kind of a problem." I said, "I just went to the bank, and I said, I don't really didn't leave enough out to buy those." Well, he said, "Go get it." He said, "I'll wait for you." He said, "Hurry up." So I went back up to the bank and got the money I needed for those parts. When I got back, the front door to each place was closed with a sign on says, "Around the corner to Jack's Bar."
Yeah.
So I went around there, and sure enough, they were all in a bag waiting for me, and I bought them. And boy, I left that wasn't the best impression of Al. I thought, what a cranky old guy, you know. Well, later on, I owned sprint cars for many years, and so many of the parts guys, I think back to the Dave McNary's, the Jim Burrows, the Steve Beitlers, so many of the parts guys who are sort of in the background. The only time you see their name on anything is when you read their ads in the paper or in the, mm-hmm. In the program at the races. They do so much to help the racers. I don't know how many of us, whether we admit it or not, wouldn't be at the races a lot of Saturday nights if it wasn't for these parts guys. And Al turned out to be one of those guys. And he was with another racer for a long time. And when I really got close to Al was back in 98. And he had separated from a car he had been a longtime sponsor with and had come into our camp and helped us a lot. And He just did a tremendous amount. He had a lot of opinions. Sometimes we shared them and enjoyed them. Sometimes we didn't agree with him, and sometimes we flat out argued about him a lot. But he was always he was such a good-hearted guy. Probably the height of my relationship was Al, and I told this story at his memorial service a week and a half ago. Is after I had stopped racing on a full-time basis. It was a year after Bob Reynolds and I had split up our team, and then he went on to help Bob. And they decided to go at the end of the year down to Vegas to run a race with the Outlaws. And at the last minute, Al decided he wanted to go, and Bob didn't have any seats left in the truck or the car to go down. So Bob called me up. He says, "You're retired." He says, "If you take Al down to Vegas," he says, "I'll certainly help you out with expenses." I said, "Oh, you don't need to do that. I wanted to go anyway." I said, "That just gives me a good excuse to go." So we went down to Vegas to the races, and after we left that night, the races got out pretty early, and I said to Al, I said, "You know, if you want to call your boss and get an extra day off," just jokingly, I says, "Have you ever seen the Grand Canyon?" He said, "No." "Well, the Grand Canyon's about 7,000-some feet, and it's rather cold there in the end of October, but we ran up to the North Rim, took him there, and on the way back, every time you see a cell tower out in the middle of nowhere, he was on his phone calling somebody to tell him that he had gone to the Grand Canyon, seen it." And I don't think until that was in 2003, and I don't think until the day that we lost Al that he ever saw me that he didn't say something about that trip and thanks for taking him. He was so appreciative. And I know we stopped in Ely, Nevada. I think it was the night before we got home, and I mean, if you talk about someplace in the middle of nowhere, it's Ely, Nevada. And we had gone to a very, very bad restaurant and got a very, very bad meal that night. And we got back to the motel, and no more had gotten to bed, and I got up and got pretty sick on the food we had. And finally, I got done getting rid of all of it, went back to bed, and in the middle of the night sometime, I woke up and the TV was on. So I got up to turn it off, and all of a sudden, he was over in his bed. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Didn't know you were awake. I was turning the TV off." "Ah," he said, "I figured I had to stay awake." He said, "You were so sick last night." He said, "I didn't want you to die in the middle of the night on me." He said, "I want to be able to call somebody if you did." So, but it sort of showed the kind of concern that Al had. And once Al was your friend, boy, I'll tell you, you really had a friend.
You know, the thing that always amazed me about Evergreen Speed was that you would walk into it and you'd think you had gone into somebody's basement or attic, because there was absolutely no organization whatsoever. But, and Will will back me up on this, he knew where absolutely everything, it was like Sanford and Son, you know?
He knew where everything is.
Yeah.
And not only that, Steve, but you'd go in there and you'd get some parts during the year and you'd say, "Well, you want me to sign a slip or anything?" No. You know, he wouldn't say nothing at the end of the year. He'd come down and he'd come out to the house, we'd sit down and have dinner, and we'd sit down afterwards, he'd say, "Well, I got this from you. You owe me this, and I stored some stuff at your place. I probably owe a little bit. This is what you owe me." He says, he didn't have this written down or anything, and he would know what a whole month of accounts, a whole season of accounts were, and he'd have it all right in his head. He was just amazing that way.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I was really looking forward to this segment and talking about Al, and I got to tell you that both you and Steve hit on the points that I wanted to hit on, and one of them to start out with was my first experience going in there. I opened the door, and it looked like a bomb had gone off in there, and I'm tripping over camshafts, and these parts that were just laying everywhere, they weren't dollar parts. They were expensive, top-of-the-line parts, and it was, you know, very unusual. I waited about 10 minutes, and I didn't get any response, and finally I had to speak up, and I heard some voice in the back of the room, you know, "I'll be there in a minute." You know, he was on the phone or something, yep. And then he gets up there, and I was looking for a very small part for my Quadrajet carburetor. He had ordered it for me. It was just a small piece, and it was buried in the very back of that place. He knew right where it was.
Yeah.
And then he got it up there, and like you said, I pulled out my credit card, and you know what he said? "What's that for?"
Yeah.
He goes, I accept two methods of payment, cash and cash.
Yeah. And it probably would have taken care of his tab down at Jack's, too.
Right.
You know, and it's so funny because you'd go in there, you'd show up. Like you said, I'm around the corner. So you'd wait a minute, wait an hour. Nope, you didn't show up. And then you'd leave, come back. I'm around the corner. It was just, you know, and I'll tell you, Tim Levine is probably one of my favorite racers. He's a do-it-yourselfer. You know, Al helped him for years, and you hit it right on the nail on the head. I think that was the kind of guy Al was, is he supported the guys that really worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He appreciated that. It didn't matter how you did it. It's just that if you did it, and I know that Bob Lenderstein, who was a common friend and who had worked on my crew for years and was a very close friend of Al, and he was the one that once him and Tim did split up, Al was kind of lost. They had some differences, but they still, I think they loved each other to the end, too.
Yeah.
And both of them very, very prominent in the local racing and very good at what they did. But Bob put us together, and the first thing he said, one thing about Will, he says, nobody seems to work harder at keeping their program together. And I always admired the fact that Al gave me credit for doing that, mm-hmm. because we did work hard to put our team together.
Yeah, he was an interesting man in an interesting business, ran it his way and nobody else's. And, you know, you think about so many people there was a guy who had a salvage yard out in Snohomish, right in downtown, and the name escapes me, but he ran for every public office, and he was, you know, kind of reminded me a lot of Al, the fact that he was very opinionated, and he knew what he knew and didn't pretend to know anything else, and that was impressive.
I think you're talking about Bill Patrick.
That's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That guy had, you know, just right across from the old library there.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great deal. It's sad to see that people like Al and the type of business he ran. I think about the only one we've got around here anymore is Jim Green, you know, that has, you know, a real speed store like what Al had. So, well,
Al
thank you
missed.
So much. He will. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming in.
If I have a minute, I would like to add one
by
thing.
By all means.
Switching channels, but I went up to Evergreen last week,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to congratulate Scotty Allman. He's a very good friend of mine, and boy, he drove a heck of a race
last week.
Yep.
Those guys have got the stones, I'm telling you. That was something else.
And he'll be on later.
Yeah,
he's not only a good racer, but you'll never find a nicer guy than Scotty Allman, too. He's just a great guy.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Will.
I warned you, Will, that you were going to be on the show sometime.
You sure did.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
You bet. Take care. Mm-hmm. Al Van Dyke will be missed. We'll be back with Steve Beitler from Skagit Speedway right after this. You're listening to North Sound Racing on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.